And so if you are called to do something, make sure you get the goods. One pastor said to me, Edgar's got the goods and I've seen it. That's what he said. Edgar's got the goods and I've seen it. See, Edgar had pressed in like a madman. He'd pressed into heaven. He pressed in and pressed in and pressed in. He pressed in so hard that he got a fireball from heaven. Literally, what he thought was a star began to swirl in the sky and turned into a fireball and nailed him. It hit him in the chest and knocked him into the side of the house. He was anointed, and he had power. He was not a brilliant man. He often said things wrong, but it didn't matter. People got healed. Hallelujah. And there were critics who said, oh, he said that right. Well, you know what? Let's see you open eyeballs. He had eyeballs grow in empty sockets. Yeah. There was no eyeballs, no eyelids. Creative miracle right in front of him. Why? Because he was smart? Nope. But he had pressed into a place where he started to have visitations from Jesus. Now, before I knew him, he was married to Charlotte, who then passed away. Edgar was a widower when I met him, or when I got, you know, when I got to know him. His wife Charlotte would be sleeping, and she would hear Edgar would, he wouldn't sleep for days on end. He wouldn't sleep for days and nights. He was so hungry for the Lord. And Charlotte would come out and say, who were you talking to? And he'd say, Jesus. She said, no, I mean, who was talking? I heard someone's voice. He would say, that was Jesus. He'd pressed into a place where heaven was manifested in his house. Strange goings on. When I first met him, I thought he was crazy, some of the stories he would tell, until I started to see it. I started to see stuff happen. And I'll tell you what, that'll wake you. The first service we held together, well, second, a man walked up that had a deformed leg. He had a special shoe and he had a four-footed cane and he would drag his leg. And he'd fallen off a two-story roof and had so many fractures in his spine that they put in metal, those metal bars in his back. And he hadn't felt his leg in 2 years, numb. He'd drag his leg. And I'm sitting in the back of the church, and Edgar picks up this cane and says, you don't need this anymore. And he throws this cane about 30 feet, and I'm sitting in the back thinking, oh, dear. Oh, dear. The guy came back the next night, no cane, walked in with two normal gym shoes and put up x-rays of the metal that had been in his back. Told his story. I still know the guy. His name's Kevin. And he said, I didn't think I'd ever do this again. And he moved his wrist like that. And at the end, I said, Kevin, what's the deal with your wrist? He said, well, I've not been able to move for 2 years because they put a metal rod in there. And I never did figure out if God took the rod out or if he just made it bendy. But what I'm saying is this. Edgar pressed in, and he wasn't pressing in for miracles. He didn't even know about it. He didn't believe. You know, when this is kind of hilarious. The first time God used him to heal to somebody, he went home, he said, I don't want anything to do with that. He said, I'll talk about Jesus. I'll talk about, don't make me do that. I don't want a healing ministry. I don't want to be one of those guys. I ain't doing that. Don't make me do that. See, he wasn't pressing in to have miracles. He was pressing in for Jesus. He was pressing in because he wanted to know Jesus. And four times in his life, Jesus appeared to him. And we have this idea that, well, maybe it'll happen to me. No, it happened because Edgar was a man of great zeal. His zeal for God burned in him. We can ask for that. We can ask for a zeal that consumes us enough that we're willing to fast or pray or go away with God or do whatever it takes. I don't know about you, but I want to do whatever it takes to be able to live in a place where the fire of God is a constant. I know some of you heard my stories, but I just have to go with the flow. The reason I got turned on to the fire of God is that one of the first preachers, I think I'd only ever heard two sermons in my life. I was saved alone in my bedroom when I was 15, and I dedicated my life to the Lordship of Christ at 26, again in my bedroom. I didn't go to church. I didn't have a church. My family did not know God. But I got to know him in my living room, and I began to press in. And so I'd heard exactly two sermons, and God arranged for me to come in contact and hear some sermons by somebody who had been, for lack of a better word, hanging out in heaven and had hung out there so much that the fire of God came upon her life. And there was so much fire upon her life that one of the messages I heard gave me a literal sunburn on my face, burnt my face until it was red like a sunburn. And I drove to a church because I heard she was going to preach there. And she would preach under the power of the Spirit. And as I was sitting about the third row on the aisle, and she would kick off, she used to wear these high heel shoes back in the day, you know, when you wore dresses to preach. And she'd kick off her shoes and walk barefooted. And she walked towards me. She wasn't really walking towards me, but she was walking near me. And as she did, I could feel the heat and the fire from heaven. And when that happens, you know that that person has been there. They don't have to tell you they were there. You know they were there. You know, it says in the book of Acts, after Peter and John healed the guy at the gate beautiful, it says they looked at them and knew they had been with Jesus. They knew they had been with him. Do you carry a fragrance with you that people say, you know, they may like you or not like you, but they say, wow, that person has been hanging out in heaven. Something about them, something about what they say. Remember on the road to Emmaus, he was hidden from them. Right? They didn't know who he was. And then he revealed himself later. And they said, didn't our hearts burn in us? Didn't our hearts burn? Why? Because there's something about heavenly speech that you know it's not normal. Even an unbeliever, when you give them a word that's truly from heaven, it pierces their heart like an arrow. And they know there's something different. And they want it. God's trying to make us hungry. Hungry enough to do anything. Hungry enough to do what it takes. Hungry enough to leave the stuff and go back in the back room and hide. When everybody else wants to watch a movie, it's not wrong to watch movies. I love movies. But there comes a time when you say, you know what? I need to go be with him. I need to say no. I need to hang out with him. I need to fast. Lori's been fasting I don't know how many days. God put on her this gripping, like, compassion for the body. She wasn't even fasting for herself. A compassion for the body of Christ came upon her. That's a heavenly thing. And when that happens, you can't but fast. You can't but pray. I remember when I first heard about a spirit of travail, I first heard someone describe true intercession and when travail would come upon people. Travail would come upon Charles Finney, and he had two friends that would pray with him, and they would groan. They didn't believe in tongues, but they would groan in the Spirit with these travailings that would come upon them from the Holy Ghost. And he went into Denver in the olden days. It was like back when the hotel was actually above the saloon. And they went upstairs, and they were travailing and groaning, and actually his friends were there first. And when Finney arrived, the lady that ran the hotel room, she said, there's something wrong with your friends. I keep putting food outside the door, and I think they're sick. They're doing these, they're groaning. But they were travailing for the souls. And when Finney arrived, he said, oh, they're okay. They're just praying. They're fine. And he got in there, and he travailed for another day and a half. He said at one, and I might not have the days and hours right on this one, but it is a true story. After a time, they heard a noise, and they opened the shutters to the balcony, and the people in the streets were crying out for God. What happened? They broke heaven open. We want people to receive our words without preparing their hearts in prayer. And he knew by the Spirit, oh, it's not time yet. And he would shut the doors and go back into travail. And I think it was another day and a half. And when he got a release, then he went out and preached from that balcony. And they say thousands and thousands and thousands of people got saved. And they say with Finney, people even miles away who didn't even hear the message would fall on their knees and repent and get saved because he carried so much presence. When I started to hear stories like that, I said, God, give me a spirit of prayer. Give me a spirit of travail. I knew that I didn't have any ability. I was so shy. I was so backwards. I couldn't even have a conversation with somebody. I couldn't look people in the eye. I couldn't have a conversation with people. It was just so backwards. I knew I had nothing I could give God. Nothing. No ability at all. But I really wanted to do something for Jesus because he'd done something for me, so much for me. And I said, I want you to teach me to pray. I said, I will die on any cross, but I want souls. I want to win souls, and I know I don't have the ability. But do whatever it takes, Lord. Do whatever it takes. And I was at a Bible study. I don't know why we're here, but I really feel like I'm supposed to share this. I was at this Bible study, and the man who ran it, his mom was there, and she talked about this prayer meeting she had gone to where women would go into this travail. And it was a travail like a birthing. And it looked like they were giving birth to an actual child, but they were just because they were bearing down. Now, that might sound strange, but what was happening is travail, if you even look it up, it's an agony like childbirth. It's difficult. Travail is actually like a wrestling. There's a bearing down. It's you cannot make it happen. You cannot do it in the flesh. It has no power. And you can't even do it. You can't even make your body do it. But you can ask God for a spirit of it. Spirit of travail, spirit of intercession. And I heard her talk about this. And what was happening was these women would go into groanings that can't be understood. Remember Romans 8? We know not what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession through us with groanings that cannot be understood. Strange, right? But the Spirit groans and makes intercession because he longs for people to be born. I'm persuaded that when somebody prays it through, there's often a soul that comes in. Reinhard Bonnke wouldn't even go until he'd sent. He had like 26 people he'd send him ahead. And they'd spend some time clear in the air, praying it through, travailing, and they would make ready the atmosphere, they would make ready the land so he could come and just sweep up. But he knew enough to know, don't just go. Prepare the way. Some of you have been telling somebody and you're hammering on them, wanting them to hear it. They can't. There was one man who would win souls, but the way he would do it is he wouldn't even talk to him until he'd prayed it through. He would pray and pray. He would travail and groan. He would pray and pray. And when he got a release, then he'd go get them and they'd get saved. Boom, saved. Isn't that interesting? That's how heaven works. It happens there before it happens here. Everything we do in a meeting has already happened somewhere else. Everything. If we didn't do it in prayer, and I mean we have teams of people who are just awesome, that have a heart for God's kingdom. They don't care if they're seen of man. They don't care. We've got people who don't want to be seen. They don't want to be known. They minister to the Lord. And let me just say this to you. That's a greater ministry than this one. I said it's a greater one. To minister to the Lord in the hidden place, that is a greater ministry than a big mouth, right? That just sits here and delivers. All we're doing, listen, it gets prayed through, it gets delivered in the Spirit so that we can just flow in it. But I'm going to tell you something, it happens there before it happens here. And if you're wondering why things don't work, check your prayer life. Check your prayer life. Ask God for a spirit of prayer. So I hear this lady talking about it, and it made me hungry. And it made me thirsty. And I said, I want souls, and I don't have any ability to get them. Lord, teach me to pray. Give me a spirit of prayer. And nothing happened. And so I waited on the Lord. Nothing happened. I waited on the Lord. Nothing happened. So I did pray in tongues. I did have that. And so after about 5 hours of spending time with him, about 5 hours and zip, nothing happened, I said, you know what, Lord, you've given me a prayer language. And I said, I will just pray in tongues. I will pray in tongues. If you know, I'll do it till the cows come home. And if you can use that to win souls, then that's enough for me. And the second I said that prayer, travail hit me. And I was on the floor in travail, true travail. It is hard work. But when you're done, you know it has been accomplished. Do you have children that are wayward? Do you have someone in your family and you've wondered why they just don't seem to get it? You've told them the truth, they don't get it. Can I say to you that they are not going to be able to get it on their own? You have to go into the realm of the Spirit. You have to pray and pray until you get a release that it's done. Some of you have pastors and you want to tell them stuff. Don't ever just show up with your opinion. Just don't do that. Okay? Because first of all, they probably already know it and they just aren't sure how to do it. What you do is you keep your mouth shut and you pray. And you pray and you pray and you pray. And either God will just do it for you or He'll give you the release to go and say it gently and by the Spirit only. And when you do that, generally speaking, it will be released. Some of you need to be praying for your husband. Why doesn't he get it? Well, can you win the battle in prayer first? You know, Jesus, at the most difficult time of his life in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said he was sorrowful even unto death. He was that sorrowful. I'm sorrowful unto death. And he asked them to pray with him, and they kept falling asleep. But I find this interesting. In the scriptures, he said, Peter, pray that you won't enter into temptation. Pray so that you won't enter temptation. I believe that had Peter been able to stay awake and pray it through, he would not have denied Christ. What temptation was he faced with right after that? Is it possible that if they'd have stayed awake and prayed, they would have avoided that whole trial? Think of the condemnation. Talk about condemnation. He renounced Christ, and at one point it says Jesus turned and looked at him. Can you imagine how dreadful, how you would hate yourself. You would just think, it's over for me. I'm going straight to hell. Do not pass go. I'm going straight to hell. I've blown it forever. Even God doesn't want me now. I've renounced Him. That is, and I believe God put that in the Bible to show us. Because Peter, of all the apostles, not only was he forgiven, but of all of them, he was the only one. It says that they tried to get in his shadow on the way to prayer. They tried to get in Peter's shadow. It mentions Peter. That means he was moving in some power. Come on, think about it. God put that in the Bible so we would understand that even the greatest, that's got to be the greatest sin, I'm guessing, to renounce Him. And yet God could redeem that. God could redeem him. But my point is this, had Peter not given in to the temptation to sleep, God is offering us heaven, I feel like, on a silver platter. And you say, well, I don't know how to pray. You know what? You know how you learn to pray? You just pray. That's how you learn. You just keep going in. You just keep going in. You bumble, you stumble, you make mistakes. You don't know what you're doing. I didn't. I certainly didn't. And I didn't know anybody that could teach me. I just kept going. I just kept showing up, kept showing up, and kept showing up, and kept asking questions. Bumbled and stumbled, made tons of mistakes. But you know what? You know what? God just saw that I kept coming. You know, at some point, I think he said, she's just not going to go away. We might as well let her, you know, she's not going any. She's not going to go away. Might as well let her have some, you know. If anybody keeps showing up, they will receive. If you keep showing up, listen, people say, I'll do it. They do it for 3 days and then they quit. I am of the opinion we should bug God every day, every day, every day. Here I am again, here I am again. It's me again, it's me again, it's me again. Widow and the judge, widow and the judge, widow and the judge, widow and the judge. Lest she weary me with her coming, the Bible says. And the truth is, God wants a people who are very well versed in the Spirit. But you know where you get well-versed in the Spirit? In prayer. That's where you learn how to be sensitive to the movings of the Spirit, is in prayer. That's where you learn. In the prayer, we have prayer meetings, and we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray. You know, when you pray in the Spirit, you become more sensitive to what's going on in heaven, because it's not, you're not praying, especially if you're praying in tongues, it's not your intellect, it's your spirit that is praying. You are actually practicing going into the Spirit. That's what you're doing. You're practicing going into the Spirit, speaking by the Spirit, releasing by the Spirit, and coming back out. The more often you, you go in, speak, 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 come out. What's happening? God is speaking through you. But more than that, you are exercising your spirit, man. It's like, do 100 push-ups, do 100 push-ups, do 100 push-ups. I don't feel like you do it anyway. Do 100 push-ups, do 100. I don't feel like you do it anyway. Do 100 push-ups, do 100 push-ups. Some of you are very, very diligent in physical things. You're very, very diligent to go to the gym, and that's awesome. But I want to say this to you. Isn't it worth it to be diligent when it comes to prayer and the Word? Because you're, if I dare say it, we're purchasing something of eternal value that can never be rescinded. See, when you show up in heaven, wouldn't it be great to have all, to bring to the, what can you bring to the King? What can you give to Him? He has everything. And if He doesn't have it, He'll just create it. What can you give Him? What you can give Him is the things that you have birthed in prayer. People that you have birthed in prayer. People that got delivered because you prayed. People who got saved because you prayed. A pastor who was leading a whole church in maybe the wrong direction just because he didn't know better. And you saw it and you said, you know, I'm going to pray for that guy. And you pray and you pray and you pray and he turns. And guess what? You just affected 200, 300, 500 people. Come on. Is it worth it? Yeah, you bet. Read how Paul wrote about, he said, we pray for you, we make mention of you, without ceasing we pray for you. Those people were in his heart, the church he carried. He said he carried the burden of the church daily. He carried, are they going to make it? He prayed. He said, I pray in tongues more than you. I thank my God, I pray in tongues more than you all. And there was a reason for that. He had a burden for the church. Will they make it? Will they stand? He didn't know his writings were going to be published. He didn't know that 2,000 years later we'd still be reading stuff he wrote. He didn't know that. He carried a burden for people, for the church, for the lost. And he carried such a strong burden that he was willing to go get beat up, left for dead, and he'd just get up and go do it again. Most of us would, you know, about one time would be good for us. You know, get beat up. You know, most of us has never even been hit one time. We've never even been belted. You know, I was laughing. Lori said it earlier, God wants to give you a belt in the Spirit. And she was talking about different. I was thinking, oh, boom. Most of us have never taken a hit, really, for Jesus Christ. And if we were really beat up even once, most of us would say, well, that's about enough of that. But not Paul. What happened? Why did he have such a consuming zeal? Because he understood heaven, because he was taken up. He had an encounter. Remember, he said, in the body was a man, in the body or out of the body, I know not. I had an encounter. He was consumed. And you know what I think happened? See, if you see enough of heaven, all this stuff that people think is important, it's like the song, those things of this earth grow strangely dim. All this stuff about the earth and how our life is, it just becomes like none of that is really matters that much. But there is things of paramount importance on the day you step over. And one of the things of paramount importance is who you bring with you. I believe God is offering a spirit of travail, a spirit of intercession, and a spirit of prayer. And I won't lie to you, it is some work. And it does cause you to walk away from other things sometimes. Even sometimes you'll wake up in the middle of the night. You're like, why am I awake? Go and pray. The devil can't stand it, by the way. God will maybe wake you up and you say, what's going on? What's up? But listen, if you begin to do it, what happens is you start to come alive on the inside. You start to come awake. You start to have an awareness. You start to see things. You start to hear and understand. There's like an alertness in the spirit that can come upon you. And it's not that there's moments where you just know something. It's not that you heard God say it. You just know. You just know so-and-so's in trouble. So-and-so's got a problem. So-and-so's in danger. You just know. You just know. There's times when you can, I've actually had it happen where I was sitting in the bathtub and suddenly I just knew a bunch of things all at once. You know why? God does not have a single-track mind like we do. He can think many things at once, hear many prayers at once, answer many prayers all at once. God's trying to make us hungry and thirsty so that we will do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. He's trying to make us, if I can say it, jealous for His presence. We say, I want that. I want that enough. See, there's been some preaching that's gone missing in the church. In the olden days, you know, back in the early 1900s, there was a lot of this kind of preaching where there would be such a drive to make people hungry and thirsty so that they would pay any price for Jesus. They would pay any price to have a heavenly encounter, to have, not for the goosebump, but to be changed, to be able to carry the thing. To be able to carry the thing. Listen, this is the last day. I believe that there's a last call. God's been revealing to me. John the Baptist came to prepare a people for the coming of Jesus Christ, right? He came to prepare people to make their heart ready to receive Jesus when He came. It was a voice crying in the wilderness, and He was announcing Jesus. I believe that in this day, there is a remnant of the church that will operate in a John the Baptist type of anointing, where we will prepare people to receive Jesus Christ when He returns. Now, this is what I believe God showed me. Jesus said that John the Baptist was the greatest of men born of women up to that time. I believe that what made John the Baptist the greatest of men born of women is that he was able to truly say, He must increase, I must decrease. John the Baptist had a spirit on him of lifting up Jesus and continuing to step to the back. God is raising up a remnant, a prophetic remnant. That doesn't mean they're standing in the office of a prophet. I'm not talking about that. But they are a people who will say, I will step back if Jesus can step forward. I will step to the back because Jesus needs to increase and I need to grow less. Okay? And I believe that we're actually entering a season where God is going to raise up disciples once again who care more about Jesus Christ and His glory than their deal. We haven't seen a lot of that in the body, but I believe that's what God is doing, and God will do it. There will be hearts that have always sought their own thing that will be converted to say, you know what, I don't care anymore about me. There's a man that has great revival. I mean great revival, amazing, amazing revival. And just pray, he'd been crying out to God to touch people. And just before it happened, he was laying in bed and he said he had this encounter with the Holy Spirit where he lost control of his physical body. And he said it was like having a spaz attack. He had no control and he thought this would happen several nights in a row. And he was the head of a ministry. He thought, what if this happens in public? And then he said this to God. He said, I don't care if I look like a fool. If you will move upon the people, I don't care how stupid I look, if you'll bring glory to yourself. And revival broke out. Healings in the street. Revival broke out. Because what happened? He came into alignment with, he must increase, I must decrease. So I believe God is calling out a people. That's true discipleship. People think if they were used in a miracle, that makes them great. No. No, no. Nope. I know turkeys that have been used in miracles. Half-hearted, divided heart people. Right? It's true. That's not the measure. Paul didn't care if they killed him. He would go from town to town to town. He didn't care if he looked stupid. He didn't care what people thought. And he would continually just get beat up, left for dead, terrible stuff, and yet he would just keep going. Because he so had it in him to raise up a people that will glorify Jesus, that will know Jesus, that will be reconciled to Jesus. And see, at the end, he was able to say, I ran my race. I finished my course. And there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And I pray that God burn that in you. That you say, I won't be satisfied until I know that on the last days of my life, I'll be able to say, there, I did it. I ran my race. I finished my course. I did what I was put here to do. And I won't be satisfied until I know that I'm doing the thing I was put here to do. I see fire in hearts. I see God lighting fires, imparting fires into hearts. You know, when we prayed for these meetings, I kept seeing a blaze of fire, blazing fire, and I would see the coals on the altar. And I wasn't sure what form that would take, but what I'm seeing right now is a fire going into hearts. And people, there's not everybody, I don't see everybody, but I see some people saying, I won't be satisfied with less. I won't be satisfied with less than the presence and the power of the King. I won't be satisfied with less than the true walk of the Spirit. I won't be satisfied living life just like all the other people. I have to have the power of God. I have to have the presence of God. I have to have a relationship with God. I won't be satisfied with less. I'm not going to stand back. I'm going forward. I don't care what it costs me. I hear somebody saying that in their heart. I remember the day I said it. I was driving in the car, and this lady I told you about that had the fire, she said this. She said, I don't know much. She said she had a sixth grade education. She'd gotten free from a cocaine habit. She was a cocaine addict. She was a cocktail waitress that wore a bunny suit in one of the Las Vegas casinos. She'd never heard the name of Jesus Christ except as a swear word. And when she got saved, she thought she was the only Christian, and she really didn't know. She took a little orange crate and she would go stand on the corners and preach the gospel, and 7,500 people get saved. She got all the busboys. Here she's in her bunny outfit. She got all the busboys saved. Radical for Jesus Christ. Didn't even know there was other Christians out there. And she said, she had a sixth grade education, and she said, and this is in the old days of cassette tape, she said, I don't know much, but I know one thing. There's a high road to success, and it's called the walk of the Spirit. And when she said it, I thought, Lord, I don't even know what that is, but if it's the last thing I do, I want you to teach me the walk of the Spirit. Everything else became like nothing. All the other stuff I thought I wanted, didn't care about it anymore. It means nothing. I put it all in the back burner and said, this is it, this for me. This is the pearl of great price that you sell everything for this. This is it. This is the pearl. That's what I want. I don't even know what it is, but I know she's got it. That's what I know. Because I felt the fire. I felt the fire. I know it's from heaven. And I know that nothing on this earth will satisfy me but the real fire of God, the real presence of God. I'm not going to be satisfied with less. And I said, I don't care what it takes. I don't care how long it takes. I don't even know what it means. Teach me the walk of the Spirit. And I set my course that day, and I didn't have a clue how to even do it. But you know, he taught me. And no person can give it to you, but they can kind of point the way. And I feel like there's a few people in here setting your course. I saw like click, like you turned and clicked into position saying, this is it for me. This is it for me. This is it. This is what I've been looking for. There's some of you that are called to the presence. You have a calling to the presence. Some of you have run from the presence because you've had pain in your heart. Some of you have run away from the presence because you've been through some trials. God, and some of you knew, have known the presence, but you know, just slipped away a little. God's not mad, but He's saying, come back. And you know, when He does that, it says, though you were never away. You know, He doesn't yell at you. It's as though you never went away. If you were gone for 3 months, 6 months, 5 years, doesn't matter, the minute you're back, it's as though it never happened. And He's building something in you. I see Him. Those that are hungry and thirsty, there's some people I saw a fire, and it was like a fire, like a little pillar of fire, if we could say it that way, and it went into your heart. And I saw it go in, and the Lord said He's building something in you. He's building something in you that man can never take away, circumstances can never fade, and the devil can never steal, never, because He's putting it in you. I'm seeing hearts come on fire. I'm seeing hearts come on fire. I saw a cloud of the presence. Remember that the Israelites, they followed. They were to follow. If it stopped, they were to stop. And if it went, they were to go. They were to stay right with that cloud. And if they did, they didn't. They were protected. If they followed that cloud and stayed with it, they were okay. That is a picture of our life. That's a picture of how we're to do life. That's a picture of life in the Holy Ghost. That's a picture of being led by the Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit of God shall be called the sons of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God shall be called the sons of God. And I saw a cloud over certain people's heads. You've cried out. You've said, there's some of you that even knew there was more. You just didn't have words. Like, I know there's something more. I know there's more than this, but I don't know what it is. You prayed like that. Because your heart, it's called the heart cry. There's some things that don't have words. There's some things that don't have words in English. And there's a heart cry that says, I know there's more, I've got to have it. I don't even know what it's called. And that heart cry, listen, it's called deep, calls unto deep at the noise of many waters. And God always hears the heart cry. And when somebody cries out to Him for real, and they say, you know what, I don't really care about my life anymore, I just want Your life. I'm coming, I'm exchanging my life for Yours. I'm throwing my life on the altar. I'm going to come like a living sacrifice. Offer your bodies, therefore, to God, a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. We come and we exchange. We come and we say, I'm done doing the thing for me. Now give me Your life. And you make the exchange, and it's His life for yours. And you get His life in you and His power in you. God's building something in you that can't be shaken. It's a new way of walking. The days are over. Listen, for too many years, the church has tried to do Christianity for Jesus. You can't. Now we're going to have Him do it through us. Instead of us doing works for Him, He will do the works through us. Instead of us performing for Him, He will do it through us. In us, first in us, then through us. It's a complete change in the way we do Christianity. That's the day we're in. Not everybody will say yes. Some people will let the boat sail. They don't want it. They don't, because it costs too much. They don't want it. There'll be a lot of people that won't get on that boat. Don't worry about that. Just make sure you get on. Don't worry about those that say no. Just you make sure you're on the boat. As I'm telling you, in this day, we are moving. There's something happening. Not just in this year, but in this season, that is a preparation for Jesus. And it is to prepare people for Him. It is to help them make straight paths. I'm trying to close. When I, you know, everyone should ask God who they are in the Spirit. You should always ask Him, what's your niche in the body? Everyone's is different. If you don't know your niche, ask Him and He'll show you. But when I asked Him, He said, you're a temple servant. He gave me some pictures of what that looked like. I didn't actually know that was in the Scriptures, but it is. There were temple servants. You know, they're not important. They're not the priest. They're a servant. So there. And He gave me a series of pictures over the years to help me understand what a temple servant does, but I feel like I'm supposed to share this one. In one of the pictures, I saw this great hall. And they had these long tables as though they were getting ready to have a big feast. And at every place setting, there were these little cups, and they were not fancy. It looked like in chemistry class, the mortar and pestle, just a very simple cup. It wasn't very fancy. And there was no one in the place but me. It was empty. And I was the maid. I was the maid. And I had a cloth. And I was going from place to place, and I was cleaning out the cup, cleaning out the cup. I was helping people, because what are you? You're a vessel. What does a vessel do? It carries. You are a vessel of the Lord in whatever capacity He's called you to. We are to make our vessel ready to carry the presence of the Most High. But we're also to be made ready for that great day. And once we get all the beams out of our eye, then we're able to help somebody else clean out their cup with gentleness, with gentleness, with gentleness, and help them be made ready or set free or delivered or come into truth. God is releasing some callings right now, so I don't want to touch it. Let the glory of the Lord come upon you. Let the glory of the Lord be upon you, even when you sleep at night. Let the glory of the Lord come upon you. Let the glory of the Lord come upon you. Even when you sleep at night, let the glory of the Lord come upon you when you're driving your car. Let the glory of the Lord come upon you when you're sitting in your prayer chair. Let the glory of the Lord come upon you. God is releasing some things. I see Him releasing some callings. And some who know they're called, I'm seeing Him release a clarity, an understanding. Oh, that's what you meant. Oh, that's what you intended. I get it now. I see clarity. God is preparing you for the days to come. And God's desire for you is that you be on top and not beneath. That you're able to walk in His victory, in His place, in His Spirit, by His power. So that you're not only able to walk in victory, but able to help others come into victory as well. That's actually God's will for you. It's His desire for you. I see Him breaking up fallow ground. I see Him breaking up old lies that we've believed about God and religion and church and what we think we're supposed to do for Him and all that stuff. I just see it breaking up, like He's wiping that out. You may have come to get healed and you may have come to have an encounter, but what I'm seeing is He's called you into this place to impart something into you that is of eternal value. It is eternally important. And so when you go home, I see that you will actually attend the Lord. You will actually have moments where you'll just slip away. Nobody even really knows. You just slip away with Him and you attend to Him and you minister to Him and you worship Him and you listen to Him. And I see Him teaching. I see Him mentoring. There's nobody mentor like the Holy Ghost. Nobody has the kind of wisdom that He has. There's no mentor that can do that. You know, and if they can do it well, it's only because they hung out with Him. But it's better to get it from Him. It's better to get it from Him. God is preparing you for greater things. Some of you will walk in greater things than you've ever known or ever even seen. There's people who don't think highly of themselves. They don't think, you know, they're not puffed up. They don't think they're anybody. But I feel like the Lord is saying, that's exactly who I like to use. is people who don't think they're anybody. People who don't think highly of themselves or lowly of themselves. There's people in here, you don't really think God would ever use you to do something great. I feel like God is saying, but I've picked you. I've picked you to do some things. And I hear him saying, all you have to do is just do what I tell you to do. That's all you got to do. You don't have to do great things. Just do what I tell you to do. You'll be okay. I was invited to pray for a lady with cancer. She had stage 4. She was in very, very bad shape. She hadn't walked in 10 months. And her nurse, she was on hospice, okay? And her hospice nurse called me and said, will you come and pray with this lady? I was young in the Lord, you know, loved the Holy Ghost, but, young. And I remember pulling up outside this house thinking, what am I doing? I don't know how to do this. And the Lord said, just do what you always do. He said, just do exactly what I tell you to do. Oh, okay, I can do that, you know. And I watched that lady get healed. I watched her walk for the first time in 10 months. I watched her atheist husband say, there is a God. I never thought I'd see the day she'd walk again, there is a God. And I didn't go in there knowing what I was doing because I had no clue. I didn't know about faith. I didn't know how to command. I didn't know to doodle. But I knew how to listen and say. If he said to say it, you say it. Just repeat what he says. He'll say to say it. Because if you do that, it's one and the same as him saying it in the earth. Because he's using your voice with his creative power. Some of you are going to heal the sick. Some of you are going to heal the sick by just doing what he says to do. Some of you are going to win a lot of children to the Lord. Little kids, I see little 4 and 5 year old kids. And I can't tell you, I can't say this strongly enough. The Lord has been impressing me for a couple of years that the strongest and most important ministry there is in the earth right now is to children. Because the devil's really out to get them. He's out to take them. He's out to trick them. He's out to... He's put systems in place to try to steal their hearts. So don't ever think of the children's ministry as being unimportant or relegated to the back room. In God's eyes, it's huge. It's so huge that I actually thought about quitting this and going to my pastor friend and saying, can I just come and teach in your Sunday school? I don't know if I'd be any good at it, but that's how much God has impressed me. So I must be talking to somebody in here that you're either ministering to kids or you've been pondering it. It's a big deal in heaven right now. A big, big deal. There's someone in here, you're going to have a singing ministry. You're going to sing the word of the Lord prophetically. You're going to sing, and when you sing, the glory of the Lord will be released. You know, when you sing, you know, there's singing to the Lord, and then there's singing out from the Lord. And when you sing or speak out from the Lord, it releases a glory for people to be able to latch on to, okay? Power of the Lord is present to heal. I saw someone's ankles receiving strength. And it reminded me of somebody who's had weak ankles for a long time, and I saw strength just shoo, like setting them up straight. Someone that's had chronic back pain in the lower back, specifically chronic, like it's been a long time thing, God is healing you. And he said, once and for all. I'm just waiting because I'm seeing the Lord hit somebody with the Spirit, and I don't want to hurry it along. I want to. If you feel the Lord touching you, just pull. Pull in the Spirit. I see a deep change, a deep work going on in somebody right now. A deep work. God is setting you free. God is setting you free. God is setting you free. Free. Some of you are going to know freedom like you never knew. You're going to be like, oh, this is what they were talking about. This is what they mean when they say free. This is what they mean when they say whole. Some of you are going to go on like a honeymoon with Jesus. Some of you are going to go on picnics with him in the meadow. You're going to hang out with him. It's kind of a funny analogy, but I'm seeing like Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer, you know, like best of friends. You know, hanging out in the field, and Jesus has that, you know, long weed in his mouth, you know. The red checkered blanket, hanging out together. Some of you are going to enjoy Jesus just to enjoy him. Just to be with him and love on him. And I see those moments when Jesus says, do you ever think about such and so? You go, no, I never really thought about it. Tell me about it. How do you feel about that? See, you know your friends when he can tell you his issue. When he can tell you what's bothering him or what he thinks about. You know your friends when he can pour out his heart. God is releasing you into some new things. There's some of you, he's breaking the box off the way you've thought your whole life. You've thought a certain way. He did it to me. I was in my 40s. It was a box of thinking I'd had my whole life, and it was so shocking when he did it. It was like he broke the very foundation of the way I think and who I am. And I had to recover because it was so shocking. But there's some of you, you've thought a certain way your whole life, and I see him, because he loves you, breaking that box of thinking and setting you free. And it'll be strange at first because you have to kind of relearn how to do life. But it's okay. It's good. It's very, very good. It's very, 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 very good. He's going to teach you a new way to do life. I see something just draining out of somebody. It's like it's just draining right out of the end of the floor. Just it is a new season, you know. Old things are passed away. Okay, I believe I'm finished. I didn't want to hurry. I felt like he didn't want to hurry that. So, Lord, I thank you for every person here. I thank you for who they are. That they're holy unto the Lord. That they're sanctified and set apart unto you, a holy vessel. There's nobody like each one of them. There's nobody like them. And I thank you, Father, that you're filling them so they will go home full up. They'll go home full up. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Anything you want to add? Okay. All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.